Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Endurance Technologies Q3 FY24 results conference call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishit Jalan from Axis Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Riya. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Q3 FY24 post-results conference call of Endurance. From the management team, we have with us Mr. Anurang Jain, Managing Director, Mr. Ramesh Gihani, Director and COO, Mr. Massimo Venuti, Director and CEO, Endurance Overseas, Mr. Satyajit Ray, Director and Group CFO, Mr. Rajagopal Sastry, CFO Designate, and Mr. Raj Mundra, Treasurer and Head Investor Relations. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Jain for his opening remarks, post which we can have the Q&A. Over to you, Anurang.
Yes, thank you very much, and good morning to all of you. I would like to share now details of how we have done in the third quarter and the first nine months of this financial year. In India, in the third quarter of FY24, as per the SIAM data, the two-wheeler industry sales grew by 18.74% compared to the previous financial year. Scooters grew by 24.48%, and motorcycles grew by 16.16%. The automotive industry in India as a whole had a growth of 15.89%. In Europe, in quarter three, there was an increase of 6.2% in the European Union automotive sales with U.K. On the financials, I will now briefly talk to you about the third quarter of FY24 and then the first nine months of this year. During quarter three, our consolidated total net income grew by 22.8% to rupees 25,880.76 million from rupees 21,067.54 million in quarter three of the previous year. Consolidated EBITDA grew by 29.9% to rupees 3,259.74 million from rupees 2,510.24 million in quarter three FY23. Consolidated EBITDA margin was at 12.6%. The net profit grew by 40.7% to rupees 1,522.78 million from rupees 1,082.3 million in quarter three of FY23, and the net profit percentage was at 5.9%. There was no Maharashtra state mega project incentive in quarter three. There was no net debt, as there was net cash available for rupees 4,636 million in consolidated books. During quarter three, our standalone total income grew by 25.1% to rupees 20,069.73 million from rupees 16,047.46 million in quarter three of FY23. Standalone EBITDA grew by 31.8% to rupees 2,446.74 million from rupees 1,856.33 million in quarter three of FY23. The EBITDA margin was at 12.2%. Standalone net profit grew by 43.6% to rupees 1,324.02 million from rupees 922.06 million in quarter three of the previous year. The net profit consolidated was at standalone was at 6.6%. There was no Maharashtra state mega project incentive in quarter three. The Endurance Overseas sales growth in quarter three FY23 was at 5.4% at 63.38 million euro as compared to 60.1 million euro in quarter three of FY23. The Endurance Overseas EBITDA margin grew by 13.5% to 9.81 million euro in quarter three FY24 from 8.6 million euro in quarter three FY23. The EBITDA margin was at 15.5%. As far as Maxwell is concerned, there was an EBITDA loss of rupees 33.7 million in quarter three of FY24. The main reasons are the postponement of new product EV launches, Our full focus is now to have a throttle growth from the next financial year. The in-house endurance surface-mounted technology line for manufacturing of BMS and the growth in new products with lower raw material percentages and higher business total income will lead to profitable sales at Maxwell. During the first 9 months of FY24, our consolidated total net income grew by 15.5% to rupees 76,151.72 million to rupees 65,943.19 million in the first 9 months of FY23. Consolidated EBITDA grew by 28.7% to rupees 9,976.63 million from rupees 7,754.83 million in the first 9 months of FY23. Consolidated EBITDA margin was at 13.1%. The net profit grew by 37.1% to rupees 4,703.34 million from rupees 3,431.09 million in the first 9 months of FY23. The net profit was at 6.2%. This included the Maharashtra State Mega Project incentive for rupees 589.01 million. During the first 9 months of FY24, our standalone total income grew by 13.5% to rupees 58,273.52 million from rupees 51,361.31 million in the first nine months of FY23. Standalone EBITDA grew by 23.7% to rupees 7,439.81 million from rupees 6,016 million in the first 9 months of FY23, with an EBITDA margin percentage of 12.8%. The standalone net profit grew by 33.2% to rupees 4,054.8 million from rupees 3,044.06 million in the first 9 months of FY23. The net profit was at 7%. This includes the Maharashtra State Mega Project incentive of rupees 589.01 million. There was no net debt as there was net cash available for rupees 3,939 million in standalone books. CRISIL has reaffirmed our rating as AA+ stable for long-term funding and the highest rating of A1+ for short-term funding and have cited the endurance strengths in operations, financials, customer strengths and diversified revenue streams. The risks which have been cited were moderately high customer concentration and industry cyclicality. The detailed financials are available with the stock exchanges and on the endurance website. I would now like to share certain key points for the first 9 months of this financial year. In the first 9 months of this year, 77% of our consolidated total income, including other income, came from Indian operations and the balance 23% came from our European operations. In India, till quarter three, rupees 9,410 billion of new business was won from OEMs other than Bajaj Auto, which included Royal Enfield, CVS, Hero MotoCorp, Tata Motors, Honda two-wheelers, Jaguar Land Rover, Mahindra & Mahindra, Punch Powertrain, and Suzuki. This business win of rupees 9,410 million constitutes rupees 5,679 million of new business and rupees 3,732 million of replacement business. This rupees 9,410 million of business will reach peak in financial year 26. The total 4 million business win till date in this year is rupees 1285 million. The orders are mainly from Punch Powertrain, Tata Motors, Mahindra & Mahindra and Jaguar Land Rover. I would also like to mention that we have rupees 17,266 million worth of requests for quotes from OEMs. Since FY20 in India, rupees 39,009 million of business has been won, out of which rupees 27,458 million is new business and rupees 11,551 million is replacement business. The 39,009 million new business will reach peak sales in FY26 and is mainly for suspension, castings and brakes in India. TVS business win has been rupees 5,278 million till date and it's growing. The business one is for brakes, aluminium castings, and suspension. The ₹5,278 million sales will reach peak next year in the financial year 25. The total business win for electric vehicles till date is ₹6,777 million. These orders are mainly from HMSI, which is Honda two-wheelers, Ather Energy, Bajaj Auto, Hero Electric, Greaves Electric, Bounce, and Active. This is apart from the $3,785 million business won by our subsidiary company, Maxwell. Some of the significant new business won till quarter three of this financial year is as follows. TVS ₹266 million inverted front fork and rear monoshock suspension business. Also, ₹404 million has been won for front forks and rear shock absorbers, which SOP has been planned in August 2024. Hero Motorcorp new business win includes inverted front fork new business, win of ₹240 million, and SOP is planned in June 2024. Brake assembly new business won of ₹263 million, and the SOP is planned in April 2024. And the front fork and rear shock absorber win of ₹1247 million, and this business has already started. We have also won Suzuki new scooter front fork business for ₹253 million. This is in addition to the previous year's ₹1400 million front fork business already won, and SOP of both will be in quarter three of the next financial year. We have won the HMSI or Honda two-wheeler brake assembly new business for ₹294 million, and the SOP is planned in quarter three of the next financial year. We have also won the Royal Enfield alloy wheel new business for ₹657 million, and the SOP is planned from this month onwards. Punch Power Train four-wheeler aluminium casting machine business has been won of ₹582 million, and the SOP is planned from this month onwards. The new 35-dia air suspension inverted front forks for supply to KTM Austria will start by quarter three of the next financial year with the help of KTM technology from our E93 Waluj Aurangabad plant. The value of this business is ₹400 million per annum and will be exported directly to KTM Austria. Our battery management system assembly surface mounted technology line has started SOP from the 6th of this month at our Waluj Aurangabad plant. The peak value of this business will reach ₹1200 million per annum for BMS as well as ABS ECUs, which we should reach peak in the financial year 2026. For EV scooters, electric vehicle scooters, we are ramping up our sales to 240,000 sets per annum of parts for EV battery packs and motor housing aluminium castings. The total value will be ₹1000 million per annum, which has started and will reach peak in the next financial year. For our aluminium forging business, we are increasing our sale from 1250 metric tons per annum to 1750 metric tons per annum at an additional business value of ₹750 million from our Waluj Aurangabad plant. This business has started and will reach peak next year, in the next financial year. The SOP for the third aluminium forging press has already started this month, and the fourth aluminium forging press will start in quarter one of the next financial year. We also added Jaguar Land Rover as a new client, new customer for the EV passenger car with an export business value of ₹240 million. The aluminium forging business is a new opportunity for growth for both the IC as well as the EVs. At our Chakan plant, we last year started a niche business of structural aluminium castings like swing arms, subframes and structural fairings for both the electric vehicle and IC models, which are born in for lightweighting. This was done for Bajaj Auto, KTM, Piaggio and TVS. This business has already started for Bajaj Auto, KTM and Piaggio, and the SOP of TVS business is planned for April 2024, which will reach peak in FY25. The business value is approximately ₹1000 million per annum. Endurance has a very good process and product technology in this business, which is helping us in almost being a sole supplier for these structural castings. Our customers recognize us as a trusted and capable partner in the value chain in terms of both technical and financial strengths. The electronic vehicles market continues to offer significant opportunity for growth to the auto component sector. As you know, Endurance has taken a major step forward to harness this opportunity by executing a share subscription and purchase agreement for acquiring 100% of equity share capital of Maxwell Energy Systems Private Limited in a phased manner. We have already last year increased our equity stake to 56% in Maxwell as per our agreement. Maxwell is in the business of advanced electronics, particularly in the battery management systems for two-wheeler electric vehicles and for automobile and two-wheeler battery packs. At Maxwell, we have won battery management system business of rupees 1190 million in FY23 and rupees 793 million till date in FY24. And we have a pipeline of RFQs of rupees 1050 million. Till date, since FY22, rupees 3785 million business has been won by Maxwell, which is expected to fully realize in the financial year 2027. We are also happy to inform you that Royal Enfield has awarded us in this month new BMS business, which SOP will start in January 2025. So with the current order book, order pipeline and technical strengths between both Endurance and Maxwell, we are very confident of achieving our goals in the advanced electronics space. As this big assembly business is growing with addition of Bajaj, TVS, Royal Enfield, Yamaha, Hero MotoCorp, Ather and HMSI, our second plant at Waluj Aurangabad has been started for this increase in volumes and already has started SOP last year. We will also start this week assembly supplies to Hero MotoCorp from April 2024 and HMSI or Honda two-wheelers from the end of quarter three of the next financial year. With this new plant, our disc brake assembly volumes have increased to 6.2 million numbers per annum and for brake discs to 8.1 million numbers per annum. As you are aware, the supply of two-wheeler ABS assemblies to Bajaj Auto and Royal Enfield has started. We have reached a run rate of 400,000 ABS assemblies per annum. As you may be aware, competition is mainly from Bosch and Continental, both German companies, which control the major market share in the Indian ABS two-wheeler market. We are now in the process of supplying our dual-channel ABS from June 2024. And we have also scaled up additional assembly lines by 240,000 ABS assemblies per annum, which has taken our capacity to 640,000 ABS assemblies per annum. We are further planning to increase the capacity to 1.2 million single and dual-channel ABS assemblies per annum for the second half of financial year 2026. We have in March 23 started manufacturing the ABS valves, which is not only a technology component, but has helped us in substantially lowering our costs and make better profit margins. Due to increased orders in aluminium alloy wheels from Bajaj Auto, Yamaha India, TVS, Hero Electric and now Royal Enfield, we have added a new plant in July 22 at Chakan to help increase supplies to 4.5 million wheels per annum. With now the new order wins from Royal Enfield and TVS, we are now expanded the capacity to supply 5.5 million wheels per annum and the SOP will start from April 2024 onwards. As Europe is concerned, till date in FY24, we have won 29 million euro business, mainly from the Volkswagen Group and Mercedes-Benz. In the last 21 months, out of the 113 million euro order, 60 million euro orders are for the growing battery EV business, which penetration in Europe has increased to 15% for the calendar year 2023. I would also like to point out that Endurance, both in India and Europe, is actively pursuing its focus on gaining access to new technology and focusing on new product organic and inorganic growth. At Endurance, our future focus will be on the following projects for a better product mix and better profit margins. We want to increase our four-wheeler share of consolidated business in the four-wheeler industry from 26% today to 45% by FY30. This increase will come from aluminium castings, aluminium forgings, as they will be increasingly used for lightweighting, and from proprietary products through acquisitions, joint ventures, and technology agreements. Our focus is on increasing our share of business with all customers on premium bikes greater than 150cc for brake assemblies, for ABS, for suspension, and clutch assemblies with upgraded product technologies and process. We are focusing on increasing the business for electric vehicles for existing as well as new products. We want to increase our advanced electronics or embedded electronics business by becoming a significant player for the battery management system and new electronic products required for EVs and other applications. We want to focus on increase in non-automotive business, which has large opportunities, especially in aluminum castings. We've already started this focus and are building up a special team for this. Our focus is to reach 10% of India sales in our aftermarket business by FY28. In the first 9 months of FY24, aftermarket sales grew by 5.58% from ₹3,085.15 million in the previous year to ₹3,257.26 million in the first 9 months of this financial year. We are exporting our aftermarket parts to 33 countries. We are now planning to add two more countries in this financial year in Central and Western Africa, and supplies should start. The aftermarket sales growth is a very large focus area for us. We have our challenges, especially for exports, and we are now targeting a good growth in the next financial year. In the first 9 months of FY24, the export sales for India standalone business grew by 7.37% from ₹1,385.13 million in the previous year to ₹1,487.27 million in the first 9 months of FY24. The major sales growth has come from two-wheeler suspension exports for KTM plants in Austria, China, and Southeast Asia, and from aftermarket export sales. On the environment front, I would especially like to mention that sustainability is a huge focus at Endurance, and we are striving to being carbon neutral in our plants by effective use of solar power and wind power, creating carbon sinks by driving tree plantations, and thereby creating dense forests and driving use of natural gas and LPG in case of electric power and furnace oil. Furnace oil use has been completely stopped. We have achieved a carbon neutral percentage of 30 till date in FY24, and our aspiration is to reach a carbon neutral percentage of more than 50 by FY30. We are also focusing on lowering hazardous waste generation and to achieve zero waste to landfill. At Endurance, it will be a continuous endeavor to grow through organic and inorganic growth with a focus on technology upgradation, quality improvement, cost, and environment, health and safety. We will do our best to fulfill our stakeholder expectations by following our five values of customer centricity, integrity, transparency, teamwork, and innovation. We at Endurance have a very positive outlook based on our new large order of business wins in the last both years, including for electric vehicles both in India and Europe. With these opening remarks, I would like to invite questions from all of you. We also have from Maxwell, Mr. Akhil Aryan and Mr. Alex Collett, and Vishwas, who is our CEO at Maxwell, to answer any questions which you may have on Maxwell. So thank you, and now we can take your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ashin Modi from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, hello, am I audible?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi team. So thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding the new orders during the quarters. We have added around 160 odd crores of new orders. Wherein we have added 60 crores of new EV business and also four-wheeler casting business. Could you please highlight, give us some more highlight on that?
So as far as castings are concerned, the major order has come from Punch Powertrain, which, as you know, has a tie with TACO in India. And in fact, Punch Powertrain is becoming a very good growing customer for us, because even in Europe, we have won a large business from Stellantis, which is also has a tie with Punch Powertrain. So I would say one is, of course, Punch Powertrain. I'm talking about castings now. Then we have from Jaguar Land Rover, which is for aluminium forgings. And we have from Tata Motors and Mahindra for castings. As far as as far as the suspension is concerned, it's largely from Hero MotoCorp, as I mentioned, from TVS. These are the two major customers. And of course, whatever I mentioned didn't include Bajaj. So Bajaj, if I have an increase of share of business, and with their growing Triumph and KTM and Chetak, so that's not counted in this 9,410 million rupees of business. So you should be clear on that. So that is extra, you know. So this is all the non-Bajaj, which I normally say, because Bajaj, as they grow, we just increase, you know, our business with them. We have a fixed SOB with them for I mean, all our products. So suspension is mainly from them. Brakes is from Hero, from HMSI. TVS, we are growing. We were doing largely motorcycle brakes. We have reached about 75,000 sets per month. And now we have started scooter brakes from this month. And that will be also growing. Our target is to reach 100,000 brake assemblies per month for TVS. In fact, they are our second largest customer after Bajaj for brakes. Then, of course, from castings, where we have alloy wheels, I mentioned we have increased because of TVS and for Royal Enfield. TVS will be going to almost 65,000 sets a month from April, and Royal Enfield will be also starting from April 24. We've got a very good order of, I think, 20,000 sets a month, 17,500 sets a month. So we are slowly growing these businesses. But of course, the whole issue is to improve the profitability and product mix, and focusing on more those businesses which give us higher profit margins.
And then my second question is regarding, so if you look at the current ramp up of our order book, so most of it is happening in FY25. So how do we see, you know, growth from FY26 onwards, which would be the key segments which would be driving the growth, and in which segments will we see incremental orders from here?
So you will see the largest orders in aluminium casting business, in including alloy wheels. You see in suspension, braking, and ABS. This is what is going to drive the growth. And of course, as we speak, I've mentioned a large focus is we're getting into more focus on four-wheeler, which will start, whether it's starting with aluminium castings and forgings, but also we are looking at acquisition, joint venture collaborations in the four-wheeler space. Non-automotive, we have already taken, for non-automotive, especially on the casting front, we have already taken like a head for focusing on this business, as well as for very specific EV parts. And already the work has started on this, because it offers huge opportunities. We are already doing business for Generac, you know. This is an American company for supplying castings to them, and for Sanmina, which makes for their cell cars, you know, the aluminium casting. So non-automotive is becoming a very huge opportunities, and we have a very large focus on four-wheeler. We want to increase it from 26% to 45% by FY30. This is in spite of the increase in two-wheeler business which we are doing, you know. So talking about the growth, I mean, just to give you an idea of what has happened in the first 9 months, as you know, the motorcycles, which is our major business, has grown only 3% in 9 months. Scooters, 10.66%. Two-wheelers as a whole, 5.29%. Bajaj, our major customer, only 1.4% motorcycles. Largely, the growth has come from three-wheelers. It's about 34%. Okay. In spite of that, we have grown 13.5%. So, like I said, we believe in profitable and higher than industry growth, and that's our focus. And that's happening because we have won so many new orders in the last 4 years. So that's helping us to grow. In spite of motorcycle being not as big, except in quarter three, which was really good. In fact, in quarter three, the growth was very high. I think in motorcycles, quarter three, the growth was 16.16%. Scooters, 24.48%, including EVs, and 18.74% in two-wheelers. So, of course, quarter three also helped us grow in this growth. And we grew at 25%, as you know, in quarter three. And this was without mega project incentive. Like I mentioned, there was no mega project incentive in quarter three. And just to let you, as we are on this question, just for everybody's information, if I take without mega project incentive and I compare quarter two to quarter three, the EBITDA was at 23.2336 million at 11.9 percent in quarter two. Quarter three, without mega project incentive, we were at 2,247 million rupees at 12.2%. Even if I take with mega project incentive, the sales were 19,843 million with mega project incentive quarter two, which increased to 20,070. In fact, we have had the best quarter three in India for a very, very long time. And it's, and also because, like I said, the two-wheelers did very well. Our major customer, Bajaj Auto, did very well with the growth in Triumph, KTM, Chetak. So all this will help us in future. The growth is going to come largely from, I think, of course, the high-end bikes I mentioned. Our focus will be on all the 150cc plus bikes with high-end brakes, suspension, products with new technologies, also the clutch with the assistance slip clutches. We have to grow our, you know, market share. Casting is a huge opportunity, whereas for four-wheeler, it's for two-wheeler, it's for non-automotive. So because, so I would say that there's a lot happening with us, and we'll see it in future, you know. But I've always said I will grow higher than the industry, which we will.
Thank you, sir, for the detailed answer. And sir, my last question is regarding Maxwell. So congratulations on the order wins from Royal Enfield. So with the slew of new launches in the electric scooter space, how do we see order wins over there? As in, how do we, so with, you know, conventional players like Hero, Ola coming up with new launches, how do we see order wins over there?
See, as far as Hero MotoCorp is concerned, we are a major part of their business. And we just won order from Royal Enfield. We have won orders from people like Hero Electric, but, you know, because of the FAME II subsidy, there's been a postponement. And we think from quarter one of next financial year, they will start. Because they were the number one company pre this FAME II subsidy going out, or not going out, likely going out, you know. So we have large orders from them. We have large orders from Greaves Electric. So the order book, we are slowly, because we are a late entrant in this. So if you ask me, Maxwell has a maximum experience on Indian roads. It's got more than 150,000, 160,000 VMSs on Indian roads. So we are looking at new products also after the battery management system. So it's taking time, but Maxwell is an acquisition for us, which is a part of the EV journey, which will happen. Maybe it will be a bit delayed, but the volume, especially I would say in scooters and three-wheelers, is really going to go up. And the highest penetration will be in scooters and three-wheelers. So the issue is we cannot lose these opportunities. But I would say from next financial year, it augurs well for Maxwell, is what we strongly believe.
Okay, thank you. I'll join back with you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, continuing on Maxwell, in terms of while their key customers have been facing this issue of FAME II, how far are we in terms of getting inroads with mainstream OEMs like Ola, Ather, Bajaj, Hero, TVS? What we need to do to get orders from them?
So see, I would only like to say that for Royal Enfield, there was the best competition in the fray. And the fact that Endurance, or I would say Maxwell, has been selected proves itself that how competitive we are, what are our strengths on technology, and that's how we won this order. So the question today, as far as Ola is concerned, I think they are mainly doing it in-house, what I've understood. But definitely our efforts are on with TVS, with Bajaj. We are making efforts with, you know, everybody. But it's not only the battery management system. We're looking at new products in the future also, you know, so slowly, step by step, we're also looking at exports. We're looking at, you know, so I think with time, the orders which we have won, and I've said it will peak in FY26, I think. I think slowly we'll see as the sales grow, we get into better products with lower raw material percentage, with semiconductor now, you know, shortages behind us. And prices coming down, all this augurs well, you know, and with sales growth and with RMC percentage down and our technical strengths, you know, so we strongly believe we have a very good future, you know, going forward.
Okay, but even with Bajaj, are we expecting it to take longer time for us to get orders from Bajaj for BMS, given that
the issue is we are a late entrant. We were actually as a third company. They have given already commitments to the existing. So I would say as volumes grow, and you know they are very, very aggressive on the EV space, both Bajaj and TVS, you know. And so I think as the volumes grow, we will do our best to get in, you know, based on our technology and our competitive strengths. So I would just say that our efforts are on. We are really focused on this. But right now we have no wins from Bajaj.
Got it. One clarification on the four-wheeler focus, which we talked about taking share up to 45%.
Yes.
Particularly on the aluminum side, I guess this is without including alloy wheels, which we currently don't do, right? But are we looking at that as well?
No. Four-wheeler, alloy wheel is another product in our mind. I'll be honest about it. But yet we have not finalized on that. Because there are many opportunities coming our way. Like people like Punch Powertrain, you have some other companies also. You have a lot of export orders also which are coming up. So I would say that we will capitalize on the orders both in IC and the EV space on the aluminum castings front mainly. And it may include alloy wheel in future. It will include proprietary products in future, existing as well as new products. Could be through acquisitions, joint venture collaborations. And we are very actively involved in this. But we have to be careful that we do it properly. You know what I'm saying? We don't rush into things. We should be sure that in terms of acquisitions, what we are buying also, we are able to manage and make money. You know, that's our philosophy. So maybe it's going a bit slow, but definitely that 45% is a clear target in front of us, which we want to achieve by 5:30.
Right. And on the structural casting parts order which you talked about, so this is for ICE or EV side?
Right now it's for ICE, but it's also required for EVs, But it's a very niche market. It goes on higher tonnage machines, and there's a real technology involved, you know, in these structural parts because they're very sensitive. You know, parts and we have done a lot of work, I would say, last two and a half years, our engineering team and castings. And that's why, to be honest, any customer wants to do this part, they come to us, you know, because of our know-how. It's not that we don't expect competition in the future, but we'll always try and be a leader. But this area is becoming a very large area for growth. It's already 100 crores or 1,000 million rupees of orders we have won, and this is growing, by the way. It's growing.
Right. And this obviously can be a fairly... will lead to a reasonable increase in content for vehicle on the aluminium side on the two-wheelers.
Sure. These are high-value-add items. Very high-value-add items.
Right. Got it. And last question or other observation was that in the passenger vehicle business, both in India and Europe, we have seen some bit of lower growth than the underlying industry in 9 months. So is it more to do with the timing difference because of the product launches of key customers in India and Europe, or there is something else there?
You see, I don't know the reasons because, you know, to be honest, I even had said when the two-wheeler industry was not doing that well the first 6 months. My belief is as Endurance, we have to be in all the segments, plus the non-automotive, because we don't know where the industry takes us. I mean, in December, four-wheeler was only 0.3%. Like two-wheeler was much, you know, ahead. So question is, it keeps changing, you know. As Endurance, there could be various reasons which I am not aware of, to be honest. But we have to de-risk ourselves and be present substantially in four-wheeler, two-wheeler. Two-wheeler, we are already substantially present. Three-wheeler, and I would say non-automotive, is bringing us really good, you know, profitable opportunities, I would say, in the future, you know. But I don't know the reason for this change. It keeps changing. You know, I said this, but that time, of course, passenger cars were doing very well, I agree. But it keeps changing. You know, it depends on the rural market also uptake. We believe the base was low for two-wheelers. This year, we should do 21 million. The peak was 24.5 million in FY19. And if the rural grows, I think with the household incomes, you know, doing better, with good financing of the two-wheeler vehicles, which I believe is happening, I think there's no reason you should not do well. But to be honest, we don't know the future. I mean, that's why I always say profitable growth and higher than industry. I really, since we went for an IPO, I don't know the future. I only know how to de-risk and ensure profitable and higher than industry growth. That's our focus at you know, Endurance.
Got it. Thanks. I'll fall back into you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mumukesh Mandelesha from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity and congratulations on the strong revenue growth, new order wins and the future diversification plans.
Thank you.
So firstly, on the revenue growth for this quarter, so in Q-on-Q basis, we have seen a double-digit growth in the die casting and suspension segments. Can you help us understand which new orders have ramped up and supported the growth in Q3?
No, let me correct you. We have also grown the brakes business. In fact, I would say the brakes may be the fastest growing. Then it's suspension and castings. That's what the second plant which came up, you know, last year. So I would say the brakes, suspension, casting plus alloy wheels. It is really leading this growth. And to be honest, we have a lot of pipeline of orders which are coming up, you know. So what was your question actually?
Basically, I want to understand on Q on Q basis, Q3 versus Q2, the die casting and suspension have gone by double digit versus the industry growth being flattish. So just to understand more, which new orders were ramped up this quarter?
I would say what went into the production was alloy wheels. It was structural castings. It was castings for EVs, you know, which have really grown. And what else?
Premium bikes. So.
Then premium bikes. I mean, today, when you take an item like crankcases, people look, because like for crankcases, we have become an expert, to be honest, on technology. So customers come to us for crankcases, you know, largely. So I think these are the... No, he was only asking for casting. You were only asking for castings, right?
Casting and suspension, yeah.
Yeah. So in suspension, we have got into... one is Hero MotoCorp. I said that huge order of, you know, about 120 crores has gone into the production. Okay. Triumph, KTM, Chetak, Royal Enfield also has increased because we are a major share of business with Royal Enfield.
Yes.
You know, then inverted front box has gone up for exports also. I mean, off the mind, which I'm telling, I don't have all the data in front of me, but what is coming to my mind, I'm just, you know, telling you. Bajaj has done very well Q3. I mean, so all suspension has gone up with them. And very high value at front forks. You know, Bajaj uses, even for the Pulsars, inverted front forks, which are much, much higher in price than the conventional front forks. You know, so, but I would say Bajaj, Yamaha, and, you know, Hero are the three companies which have really led the growth in Q3.
Understood, sir.
If I could choose three customers.
This is helpful, sir. Just on the other expense, was any one-off this quarter? Because other expense have grown broadly in line with the top-line growth. We have not seen any positive leverage benefit. Any reasons for that, sir?
You are talking about India right now?
Yeah. So, India, I basically consults other expenses. If you look at it, has grown broadly in line with the revenue growth.
It is consolidated and India both? Or...
Yeah, both this. I think in India also we have seen the increase. So if you can help us understand.
In India there has been no significant increase in other expenses. Some preventive maintenance expense we normally undertake in December. So that's something. But if you see other expenses as a percentage of revenues, especially the fact that metal prices are coming down, so revenues have to be adjusted for that. Actually, as a percentage of sale, it's not... one off at all, but one off item would be preventive maintenance cost, but nothing very significant there. So, Europe other expenses quarter on quarter, would Massimo, you like to add something?
Yes, compared to 2022, more or less there is an increase that is due to the increase of labor cost, because starting from the 1st of June 2023, we have had an increase of 6% with our employee linked to the inflation. And also in the other expenses for the leasing contract. If you compare the third quarter compared to the second quarter, the increase is only due to the increase of stock and the product mix. But the other expenses and the labor costs are completely aligned compared to the previous quarter.
Got it, sir. This is helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pramod Amthe from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So the first question is with regard to the page number 7, sorry, 6, which you talked about the new order wins, how they are going to plan out into the sales, where you are called out for FY25 almost around 2,400 crores of business to come through. It looks huge if I had to top it up on the existing sales. You are basically talking about a 25% plus growth from the new order wins, which I think is one of the best in the last 5 years, which you might have done. So if I had to track, what are these customers we need to watch out for? Because you also alluded to the fact that in case of EVs, one of the customer missed out and hence the deferral for next year. So I wanted to get some more granularity when you are projecting that much of a lumpy rise for next year.
When I mentioned about 39,000 million rupees, some of the business already got started in 21, 22, 23 and 24. Okay. So you must keep that in mind also. But I would say the major growth is going to come from all customers. You know, Suzuki is a small player. It's 160-150 million rupee new front fork and rear shocker business starting in quarter 3 of the next financial year. That's a huge order. And Suzuki is a very small player in our scope of things, which is there. You know, but I'm just giving you one example. The way the EVs are going up, Bajaj with their Chetaks, their Triumphs, their KTMs, you know, plus I would say they've really captured, they've grown in domestic market. Export, we'll have to see, you know. And I would say all, I mean, if you take Yamaha, the brakes business, which is increasing, the alloy wheels, which is increasing, you know, next year. TVS, plus all our inverted front fork orders, which are there, with all, with TVS, with Hero Motocorp, with of course, Bajaj is increasing. KTM exports are increasing. Actually, I would say we are growing with all customers. In EVs, it would be mainly Ather. You know, electric, they really start doing well now. They've got their act in order. TVS and Bajaj. You know, as far as EVs is concerned. What we are seeing today, and of course, we'll be a part of the journey with this thing, HMSI. You know, we have already won business for castings for a South India plant from HMSI. That's why you see the figure has gone up, which is there. So we are focusing on EV with all the original OEMs and new OEMs. I would say mainly would be Ather, would be Grease Electric, it would be Hero Electric. Ola, we are not present right now. We are trying. Let's see how we succeed. But new ones will be there. But OEMs for EV, I see it's all. It's all the original, all.
So, and the second question is with regard to the Punch powertrain, where you alluded to that you have one and suppliers are immediately starting. Considering that it's a first of its kind born EV and you have been able to make inroads, surprised to see the short lead time of win versus your delivery. So is that anything to see if we extrapolate the similar one for other EVs coming in car business, or how are you looking, or it's a one-off of to have a short lead time per se?
Yeah, see, Punch powertrain, of course, for the first, this business, of course, the lead time was not that big, but I think our engineering strengths, our tool room, our capabilities have helped us to get into SOP very fast, production very fast, and that will be one of the key things, you know, in future, whether it's for castings, and that's why I think our strong R&Ds, our own test track as far as the proprietary products are really helping us to do quicker, the development quicker, first time right. And as you know, technology is a very, very huge focus, which is helping us to get into new products very fast. And castings, I think our own engineering team, our own tool room, shortens the lead times. But I think, to be honest, this could be the order of the day if you have to win business quickly. Because you have to meet the target timelines, you know, so this could happen. Though it's not happening with everybody. We do get good timing. But now there are many customers whose lead times are quite, I mean, they are getting shorter, you know, for sure.
And looking at the opportunity in the EV powertrain, how much you might have addressed in this case of Punch? And is there a more headroom available for you to expand your opportunity in that? How do you look at
it? Yes, I think the opportunity is huge. And you will see new order wins in future. from such
just as a rule of thumb, like how much you might have been able to address now with this win?
See, our focus is like in India to get everything, to be honest. I mean to get 100%, you know, in case we don't want a second source and we can, with our competitive strengths, manage to do it. But to be honest, we are looking at a lot of other EV opportunities in the battery casting space, and you know, there are a lot of, I cannot talk too much on the call, to be honest. But I'll just tell you that four-wheeler EV IC will be a huge opportunity going forward.
Okay, sure.
For India.
Thanks. And a similar question to the European operations. If I had to look at the order wins in 9-month FY24, they look dismal versus what you have done in last 2 years. Any color why it was a case, and how you expect, was the new product development itself was weaker, or your wins were lower in Europe this year, and how that will have a repercussion going forward?
So, speaking about Europe, we acquired, it's true, only 30 million of euro in these 9 months, but please consider that in the last four years, we acquired 250 million of euro turnover per year. The total turnover of Endurance Overseas is of more or less 260 million of euro. And so in this moment, we are investing something like 50 million of euro in this financial year to implement the production capacity. And so this is due to the fact that it's normal that sooner or later we have to refuse business because we haven't space and we haven't the possibility to continue to grow from the field. This is, from my point of view, the normality. In this moment, we are quoting other business. Regarding your previous questions to Mr. Jain, also with Powertrain Europe in Stellantis, we are quoting for them other component for electrical vehicle for the plug-in technology. Important business, 150,000, 180,000 per year. But at the end of the day, please consider that the major focus in Europe in this moment is to implement as soon as possible the production capacity, because we have a lot of new projects, and so the target is to start as soon as possible with good volume.
I would just like to add here, to Massimo, that we are acquiring new land and making new buildings also. But at the same time, the business which has been won of 250 million euro, that, you know, I said it's mainly largely for the EV, you know, products as well as hybrid. So there is a delay on the EV product side, you know. So we have already invested, you know, we have taken the order, but you will see, we are going to take more orders, but there has been a delay, so you will see in future larger sales in the coming years. Because there has been a delay, especially in the electric vehicle space, that whatever the SOP was planned has been delayed. So you will see higher business from the next financial year.
Sure, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Arvind Sharma from Citibank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, first question would be on the margin trends in the India business. On a quarter-on-quarter basis, there has been a slight decline. Any reasons for that, sir, the EBITDA margin?
And I don't believe that there's a decline, because the mega project incentive was not there in quarter three. Quarter two had the mega project incentive, so you have to compare it with that. So if I do not take mega project incentive, the EBITDA was at 2336 million, 11.9%, which went up to 2447 million at 12.2%. Both if I take without mega project. And as you know, we don't get mega project every quarter. Largely it's in the first two. You know, so you have to compare it apple to apple.
Got it, sir. Do we expect any mega project incentives next year?
Of course,
Arvind, let me explain that. See, we book about 90% of our entitlement as per accounting standard, what we've discussed with auditors, as and when we clock up SGST paid sales. So we've been doing that. So this 10% now for the initial years will be due to us once the GST audit is over, the report is filed with authorities, and they clear the balance 10%. Now, as far as we are concerned, this under the current the mega project incentive, that is 2013 to 2019 scheme, this was the last big year of close to 60 crores booking. Now what you will see going forward would be smaller amounts pertaining to previous year, which we've held back for getting the GST audit done. So quarter four onwards, it's difficult to say how much you will see, but you may see something in quarter four of this year. I'm not able to give you a number. But from next year, this particular thing will start tapering down, the booking, under 2013 to
19. Sure, sir. Thank you for this clarification. Sir, next question would be more on the demand trends that you are seeing. Yes, there have been new order wins, which will help the revenue. But on the demand front, especially in the two-wheeler segment, what are your views for next year, say fiscal 25, leaving the new order part purely from industry perspective?
Honestly, I can't answer that question, you know, because I don't know. The first 6 months, you know where the two-wheeler was. These 6 months, it's fantastic, quarter three, quarter four. And it depends a lot also on the how fast the scooter EVs will grow, you know, with the FAME II subsidy practically going out from June 24, and how the rural sector is doing. Right now, we see an increase in demand as well as with good financing. So let's hope it continues, you know. So and that's the reason, though we at Endurance continue to focus on two and three wheeler. Four-wheeler and non-automotive becomes a very major focus for us now in future.
Sure, sir. So just one data point. In for the European business, you've shared the revenue and EBITDA in the presentation in euro terms. What would be the PAT, sir?
The PAT,
we closed the third quarter with 63.4 million of euro turnover, 5.4% higher compared to the previous year. EBITDA 9.8 million, 15.5%, 13.5% higher compared to the previous year. Net result 3.3 million, 5.2%, 7.5% higher compared to the previous year.
So 5.2% was the PAT.
Thank you, Massimo. Thank you, sir, for your responses. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Viraj from Simple. Please go ahead.
Yeah, ma'am.
Hello. Hello.
Sir, we're not able to hear you.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, I can hear you now.
Couple of questions. First is, you know, you talked about us having an aspiration of 45% of mix from four-wheelers by 2030.
Yes.
So what product segments will drive that for us? That is one. Second is, you know, if you can talk about the suspension segment performance. So, you know, you give them brief color in terms of how the two-wheeler end market has run on a 9 month and how we have done. But, you know, that outperformance is led more by suspension or is it other product categories? And the third question is just largely on the competitive dynamics in suspension. So will it be both within two-wheelers and if at all we are looking in four-wheeler?
So see, one is suspension, casting and brakes, which has driven the India business. Just to answer that first. The second question, the first one was which one? You know, I forget when you ask too many questions at the same time. So see, the four-wheeler 45% is going to come from aluminium castings, from forgings. It could also include four-wheeler alloy wheels. It will come from drive shafts, business which is there. And in proprietary, it could come from brakes, from suspension for four-wheelers, or it can come from new products which are required for both IC and the EV in the four-wheeler space. So, and of course, it could come from acquisitions, it could come from collaborations. So we are very, very focused on this.
Right. So on suspension, what my question was, you talked about adding a sizable amount of new wins. So you talked about the Hero Motors, close to 130 crore order, and then even from Suzuki and you know, other players. What will be your share now in the two-wheeler space? And
If you can just help us understand in terms of opportunities for further growth in the two-wheeler piece and suspension.
See, one is the growth which can come automatically if the two-wheeler industry grows. Then the higher-end suspension. One is the suspension for the above 125cc bikes, which are 150 and above. It is new technologies of inverted front forks, rear, you know, mono shock absorbers, which will come in suspension, you know, in a bigger way. You're talking about only two-wheeler right now, isn't it?
Yeah, for us it's largely
two-wheelers, right? So it will be growth in the two-wheeler market, higher growth in the premium segment, which is 150 and above, you know, where we have all the products required for suspension, whether it's inverted front forks, it's rear monoshocks. It will be exports to KTM in all the regions of the world, which is there. We're also working with other foreign players in the two-wheeler domain to be able to increase our exports on the two-wheeler front. And
vehicle configuration is changing to ABS.
No, he's only talking about suspension. So suspension, I think, would be a factor of this and increasing our share of business. Like in Suzuki, we're not present. Now, this huge 140 million order to makes us a major player in that space. So how to get more share of business also, you know?
And who would we be replacing in the competition?
Well, you know the competition, and don't make me, you know, say it myself. I'm sure you people know all the competition. I don't like to talk, you know, about competition. It's not right. But you all know the names. There are not so many names. And in all the products which Endurance is in, there are not many names. There's been a lot of consolidation over the last 20 years.
Okay. Just last question on the Maxwell business. If you can just give some color on the competitive dynamics, you know, in the product segments they participate, who will be the larger players and their share and as of, you know, today?
I think the Maxwell team is there. I think I request Akhil, Alex, Vishwas to please answer this question.
Yes, sir. Yes, this is Vishwas here. Repeat the question. I couldn't get the entire.
The question is.
My question. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, please ask.
So my question was largely on the competitive dynamics in the product segments we participate in. You know, all the other larger players and their share as we speak today.
Yeah. So regarding competitive dynamics, let me also come to how the industry is also a little bit shaping up, because that will help you understand that much better. So
yeah.
In terms of how the industry is shaping up, of course, EV segment as such is still a volatile segment. There's a lot of consolidation happening. There are a lot of regulations which are transforming the industry in one way or the other. And BMS also has had an impact on it. For example, the FAME 2 as well as the AS156 and so on. So when it comes to the competitive space as such, the initial competitors were of course mainly coming from China with respect to the low cost PCMs and so on, which many OEMs were using. Now with AS156 coming in from last year, so that has majorly gone off, and there are and also a lot of localization support and things like that with respect to FAME 2, that has largely gone off, and a smart BMS is. It was the order of the day, for example, since last year. When I say last year, last April onwards, right? Going forward, how we are seeing the trend within the industry also is that many of the OEMs are realizing that they have to move towards a more functionally safe BMS. So when I say functionally safe, an automotive grade BMS, which, for example, has the power to manage the battery even when the vehicle is, for example, switched off and so on. So this trend is going to continue, and that's where Maxwell is getting a lot of advantages. And I already mentioned we won the business with Royal Enfield, mainly with our competition, with respect to our expertise on the functional set, with the PPPMSS, whether it's designing the hardware, but mainly it's related to the software side of things. So regarding the functionally safe BMS, I don't want to get into the names of the competition in this call, but in terms of the competition, it is very few. And that's where we see the niche being developed from Maxwell. So from that viewpoint, even with a functionally safe or a non-functionally safe BMS, we are confident of our USPs, and we are confident of our advantages. And many of our customers, as well as the new customers whom we are going to acquire, are already seeing that impact.
Okay. If I can just squeeze in one last question. What on the margin side, especially in the standalone business? Now, despite such a healthy performance, you're seeing an overall key raw material cost also being softer now. Still, margins on the standalone have not recovered to the levels where we were, say, around 14%, 15%, or 16%. So is there any particular segment which is dragging the overall piece in the standalone business? And any perspective you can give?
No, see, I had mentioned in the earlier calls, when Endurance did 14.5%-16.5%, the raw material percentage to sale in India was 62%-63%. And you can see the record of the last four, five years. Today, we are at 12.2% without mega project incentive, or I would say 13.1% in the 9 months with a mega project, where the RMC is about 66% or 66.5%. What is the exact figure? RMC percentage. So there is a huge difference of minimum 3% there, or even more than that. So we have been improving, but definitely there's a mathematical figure. What you have to see is how much EBITDA amounts we are making. It is 66.3% in this financial year. And we have done better than the last financial year so far in terms of EBITDA.
Appreciate it. And we can clearly see that. It's just that if you look at the end segments, especially the OEs, they are making one of the best spread on a per unit basis. And if you look at the overall RM context as well, it's been benign now for the last few quarters. So just in that perspective, I was trying to understand, is it more to do with the segment or the product mix, or it's more about product cost recovery, which may play out in further incoming quarters?
See, what you have to see, the OEM figures is only on operations, what kind of money they are making. Today, Endurance is making money only on operations. So you have to see OE on operations income and other income. But of course, don't compare us. We are OEMs are OEMs. And most of the, original OEMs are very, very strong. So I can only say that we are trying our best to improve the profitability, trying to see how we can, with our Endurance Vendor Association, keep focus on raw material percentage to sales, see how best we can achieve lower figures, and grow business with a better product mix, whether it's four-wheeler, it's two-wheeler, it's non-automotive. So the question is, I think it's a product business, the product mix, and these new business initiatives, which I purposely mentioned in this call, is, I think, going to take us to a better EBITDA margin percentage. And that's the focus. But if you are comparing 15%-16% with today 13.1% this year, it's because of the raw material percentage. And you can see the figures of the last 5 years, how the percentage has moved up. Of course, it moved down compared to last year. That's why you see a better EBITDA margin percentage compared to last year. I think it was 11.9% versus 13.1%, if I see the first 9 months. So you can see the improvement there with EBITDA. But of course, focus now will be on better product mix in two-wheelers and focusing on non-automotive and four-wheelers, for sure.
Okay. Thank you, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prateek Poddar from Nippon AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, I can hear you.
So just one more question. Just wanted to confirm, the RE Royal Enfield BMS orders start from Q1 FY25. Is that a fair understanding?
Sorry? The?
The BMS orders for Royal Enfield, they start from Q1 FY25 or Q1 FY26?
January 2025. January 2025.
Okay. Because the presentation mentions is at Q1 FY25, so it's got a bit confusing. Got it. Thanks. Thank you.
January. It should be Q1.
It should be January, so that must be a mistake.
Okay. It's calendar year, right?
January 2025.
Okay. And sir, just in Maxwell, how much of your total revenue, potentially, let's say the peak revenue of 380 crores, how much would come from Hero Electric? Is that around 70 odd crores?
Just a minute. Vishwas, would you like to answer? See, we don't give actually a breakup. Have you given a breakup? To be honest,
was the question regarding the Hero Electric revenue among the total?
What is the size of business in that total business wins which I gave? How much is Hero Electric, and that is what they're asking.
So Hero Electric, it would be in the region of 70 crore. Yes.
Wow, fantastic. Okay, sure. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it is already there. 7 billion, we have mentioned it. So
I just wanted to... No, I just want to confirm. Yeah, okay.
So let's hope they do well. They were number one when this FAME 2 subsidy didn't go out largely, you know. So let's hope they come back.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of the day. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
No, I don't have any further comments. I'd already given my comments in my opening remarks. And thank you, and thank you everybody for joining this call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.